With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today. Thanks for tuning into RCR, Reality Check Radio. The following interview contains topics that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. If you would like to contact us in regards to any of our content, please email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Counterculture here on Reality Check Radio with Marie. You just heard Bob, the father of one of the Mama Hooch victims in Christchurch. And wow, there's always so much more to a story. And joining me now, someone who was all over this story at the time and works with many of these victims and works behind the scenes on this, is Denise Ritchie from Stop Demand. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good morning, Marie. I'm well, thank you.
You know, Bob, it was so passionate, and the speed or lack thereof of our judicial system in getting any form of justice for these victims, in a way, is a punishment for these victims all over again. It's just, it's awful.
Yes, it is a form of re-victimisation. And Bob heard me being interviewed following the lifting of the name suppression. I think also when the sentences were handed out for Daniel Jazz and Roberto Jazz, and he got in touch with me, and I was aware that there's a huge gap for parents or people close to victims to feel that they're heard, to feel that they've got a forum to just vent. That's really lacking. And that's one of the things that Stop Demand has been quite pivotal in, is encouraging a group that started up right now in Kaikohe. In fact, it was started by Kelvin Davis, the former minister, and a couple of men up there. Stop Demand, and I've really encouraged that group to continue, but it's called Massive, Men Against Sexual Violence, and I believe that you've already interviewed previously
Mike Shaw.
Yes. Yeah. Mike happens to be the chair of Stop Demand, so there's that link there and that buy-in. It's a nice fit. So I put Bob on to Mike because men need a space to be outraged about sexual violence that's occurred to their own family members. But you're right, it is a complete re-victimisation over and over by the system that drags on for so long and so often in favour of perpetrators.
Well, and the fact too, that because of the name suppression, the perpetrators, i.e. the Jazz brothers, were able to continue on for not months, but years in the community whilst this was going on, and people knew.
Yes. But even worse, Bob and the woman involved and the family members involved didn't have that freedom to just speak out for all those years, because they would themselves be breaching name suppression. That's the
frustration.
I guess the obscenity around that, because if we were burgled, for example, and people were found and, you know, you could name them, it just should come up in normal everyday conversation. The fact that they are further muzzled to tell their own story is another kick in the guts to victims.
Oh, yeah. And you can see why victims will be reluctant to come forward in this situation. And that is just wrong. So yes. Wrong. So what sort of work you have actually got some new documentation that you have compiled. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Just before we get to that, can I just refer again to the Jazz brothers, to the Mama Hooch case? There's a larger group that we were concerned about that we didn't consider had sufficient focus. A lot of people thought that once the case against the two rapists had concluded, that really should be the end of the conversation. And we put out to the media, and it was taken up, that really this should just be the start of the conversation. There was a much bigger conversation to be had, and that was around all the wider group of men around them that, in a way, enabled this behaviour to continue. You'll be aware, and your listeners will be aware, that it came up in the trial evidence that there were group chat exchanges across several apps, including WhatsApp and Viber, and that formed part of the trial evidence. But it showed that these two rapists were joking with and sharing photos and accounts of their hunting down, drugging, raping and denigrating these women, and they were sharing this with a much wider group. I think the anger in me was that there were a lot of other men around these men, and I use that word men advisedly, that could have called them out. You know, they didn't. These weren't, you recall probably a number of years ago, we had a similar incident with a wide group of men called the Roastbusters, but these were largely guys between 14 and 17. But in this case, the group that was involved with WhatsApp and Viber, these weren't hormonal boys with underdeveloped frontal lobes. These were grown men. These were men who we would say were completely gutless. They were collusive and they were enablers. They were bystanders and they had many opportunities to call these guys out, to tell them to stop it. They had plenty of opportunities to actually report them to the police, and it appears that none did. So I'm particularly disappointed that during the trial that each one of these men weren't called to give evidence. That would have given them a real wake-up call.
Really? Because it was quite known of that circulation group. So that circulation group, none of them appeared in court.
Well, I'm not sure if they did, but there didn't seem to be a lot of focus if they did. I mean, even if they were given, say if they applied for and were granted name suppression, the fact that they would have been called and have to walk into court would have been a sobering experience for them and would have actually, I think, shoot it home to them that actually they were collusive in the raping behaviour. So it just seemed like that wider group weren't called out in a way that they could have been. And I think that's a great shame. But hopefully there will be listeners to this program that will know who these guys are. I mean, I'd be horrified, but you have to accept that quite a few of them probably have female partners. Pretty horrifying to think that some of them will have even daughters, and yet they can just stand back and watch this shocking behaviour continue and do nothing about it.
Yeah, well, the silence basically is compliance in this case, isn't it? Just as you said, it just enabled this behaviour. It is just appalling. Yeah, absolutely appalling. And I hope lessons, you know, you can only but hope that lessons have been learned. So in terms of the documentation that I mentioned before, you've got some really good resources now. And I know I really enjoyed talking to Mike when I did too, because you're right, there needs to be an avenue for those fathers and those men who are wanting to make a change or are wanting to make sure that they are providing positive male role models to their daughters. So, but you've got some really excellent resources. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so two of them are, one's called How Evolved Are You? And it's actually a quiz. So anyone wanting to access that, I'm sure can do so through Reality Check Radio, if you can get that put up, or through the Stop Demand website, which is just www.stopdemand.org. But in the How Evolved Are You, the statement is made that sexual violence, exploitation and denigration of women and children doesn't take place in a vacuum, but it's underpinned and sustained by widespread attitudes and beliefs. So we encourage people in taking the quiz to connect the dots. So there are five categories. And if you think about this wider WhatsApp group, they would fit into categories one and two. And those would be that you enjoy, and then there's a series of behaviours and attitudes. So you enjoy jokes that sexually degrade women. You visit strip clubs. You do or you might buy sex, and you enjoy pornography. And the second category is you feel a bit uncomfortable with all of those things, but you join in anyway to fit in. So there'll be a big group of people in that category, of men in particular. Then another group, which we hope is bigger, is that you don't or you no longer do those things, laugh at the rape jokes, etc., and you decide to avoid porn. But you don't talk about how you feel about these issues. And the fourth category is that you make it clear to other men you don't agree. So you'll speak up. And that's what these WhatsApp group members could have done. Hey, guys, this is not good enough. Hey, look, some of us have got daughters ourselves, we've got wives. We just need to up our game, start respecting women. What you're doing is you're drugging and raping women. If it doesn't stop, you know, we're going to report you to the police. I don't want to be on this site. Take me off. You know, just make a clear stand as a man. And the fifth and last one about the development and maturity of men is that they join and support organised efforts to stop these behaviours, sexual violence, exploitation and denigration. So on the back of that sheet, there are a few tips just to encourage people. We're not expecting people to move from the first category up to the fifth, but even if they're just moving from one category and doing some self-reflection, I mean, this is really about men making better choices, and that's how we've sort of encapsulated it. So if you get an email, what you can do if it's an email that sexually degrades women, just send the sender back with, hey, mate, you know, take me off your list. I don't want the stuff, thanks, stuff like that. The second and popular, it's been popular around the world, is our Man Up Pledge. It's got 10 points. And it's just for men to go through and reflect. It's a declaration of who they consider that they are or who they choose to be. And the very first point you'd think was pretty basic, which was we will respect all women as equals. But actually it's been surprising how many men are just tripped up on that one. Mm. Mike Shaw told me that he had a group of men out chopping wood. He's great, the Men Against Sexual Violence, just to get men in a sort of an activity where it's a safe space for them to talk. And when he started going through this sheet, they were going to take one point at a time. He was surprised, maybe not surprised, how a lot of men struggled with, you know, respecting all women as equals. Now, if this wider WhatsApp group from the Jazz Brothers case had respected women, they wouldn't be on that site. They wouldn't have enabled, they wouldn't have been collusive bystanders. So they would fail at step one. But, you know, they probably think they're arriving at step eight or some such. So, and the second one is, and we will engage, I will engage only in sexual conduct that is mutual and respectful. Third one, I will speak up to oppose sexism, jokes or talk that denigrates women, recognising that silence is collusive. So again, that WhatsApp group members, they all fail at that point. We won't access pornography, recognising it as sexual exploitation. Fifth one, we won't visit clubs or bars that exploit women, etc. The sixth, won't participate in any form of sexual harassment, blah, blah, blah. Seventh, about buying sex. Eighth, about rejecting all forms of sexual violence. And the ninth and tenth ones, the positive ones, that I think, you know, it's our message is largely pro-men because there are so many good men out there, and we just really need those men to step up and to say, yeah, actually we're going to be a little bit more proactive. So the ninth point is we recognise that all of the above are within our and other men's control. They're not inevitable and they can cease. And the last one is we will encourage other men to adopt and live by this code, including teaching it to our children. So it's not rocket science, but it's just a good, you know, some points of reflection.
No, and again, if you want to get hold of that, either the Stop Demand website, www.stopdemand.org, or you can get it from us here at Reality Check Radio. 2057 is the text, and our lovely Liz will get that out. You know, you're right, Denise, it's not rocket science. And that's the thing with the current culture at the moment too. There has been so much, like particularly with wokeism, they've been creating this poor sense of masculinity, and it's reclaiming back good, moral, ethical, positive masculinity, which essentially are those 8 points and guidelines that you have there. And that's been eroded, you know, very slowly eroded, like water torture or water on sandstone over the last 20, 30 years. And it's important that we get that back.
And I think we've all got a role to play. I mean, even in a group that I was involved with, there was a reference casually from someone overseas to bitches. And so I called that out and said, actually, we don't want any woman denigrating language on this platform. You know, so a lot of people would have read that. And the person said, oh, actually, no, I meant it as dogs rather than woman. Mm. But, you know, we do have plenty of opportunities, even though we think we're surrounded by fabulous men and women. It's surprising how much slips through. And I would encourage any listener who's a parent or a caregiver or a grandparent, male or female, you will be surprised how many opportunities. You hear your grandson saying something, oh, that little whore or that little bitch or something. Call them out. Just say, hey, come on, I'm not going to tolerate that behavior. You need to start respecting women. And there will be opportunities. There'll be plenty of opportunities at dinner parties where people have been drinking, the tone of the conversation starts to become more denigrating. yeah, just step up. And actually, you'll be surprised how many people, sometimes it just takes one person.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if one or two men connected to the Jazz Brothers had spoken up, how many others would have got behind them and say, actually, we agree with, you know, so-and-so, you know, take us off too, this is not good. Usually it just requires that one person with backbone, with the guts to step up, and then they get a whole lot of other people behind them. Failure to do that, or as we saw in the Mama Hooch case, the failure to do that resulted in so many wrecked lives.
Mm. And that empowerment too, for them to do that, is, I do wonder, that, I mean, that emasculation with the, with these guys, not to create a fuss, not to be that one to stand out. I mean, the mental health elements of that, for not doing that, not doing the right thing when you know you're not doing the right thing. We know that there is a mental health crisis amongst our men, and you do wonder whether or not that that's contributory to it. You know, they are not saying and doing what they know is right because they don't want to rock the boat, as it were.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
Well, Denise, as always, it is an excellent time to, it's always excellent to catch up with you. And thank you so much for sort of, you know, rounding out the chat that I had with Bob, because it is so important. And of course, coming up, I have got Heidi Olson, who is a SANE nurse, a sexual abuse nurse examiner. And don't disappear, everybody, because that conversation is very powerful. And I know it's going to be powerful from the literature she has sent through. So do not disappear. That's coming up very shortly here on Counterculture with Reality Check Radio. And thank you for your time again this morning, Denise.
Thanks, Marie.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.